traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Let's face it, in our busy lives, we don't eat enough fruits and vegetables. In fact, according to the CDC, only 1 in 10 Americans are eating the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables each day, missing out on essential vitamins, minerals, fibers, and antioxidants. And that's where Balance in Nature comes in. Balance in Nature sources only the best produce, free from pesticides, heavy metals, and harmful bacteria. And Balance in Nature is the best fruit and vegetable product on the market. They use only fresh whole fruits and vegetables inside each capsule. They don't use any GMOs, fillers, binding agents, or preservatives of any kind. You're getting real food, real science, real nutrition. I would never endorse a product that I don't use myself, and since using Balance in Nature, I feel more alert, I have more energy, my focus is sharper, and I feel great. Live life to the fullest and choose Balance in Nature. And guess what? PAS Report listeners can get 35% off the first preferred order. Start getting the recommended daily amount of fruits and vegetables you need by using code PAS at balanceofnature.com.
Welcome to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup Podcast. The PAS Report provides an honest analysis on the critical issues that matter to you without the biased media filters. Here's your host, Professor Nicholas Giordano.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the PAS Report Podcast. This is your host, Nick Giordano, and there's no sugarcoating it. It's no sugarcoating the fact that the last 2 decades have been extremely challenging here in the United States and also the Western world. There's no shortage of crises that are impacting our everyday lives, and the times and challenges we face, it may seem dark right now. You know, the coronavirus has torn our society apart. Many Americans are suffering from things like inflation. They're paying much more for everything. Food, gas, clothing, lumber supplies, any type of building material. It's not easy. And then we see the race hustlers pushing critical race theory in schools throughout the United States, the constant images of the botched withdrawal and the speedy collapse of Afghanistan. It's a complete disaster. The list goes on and on. We have Americans that are stuck behind enemy lines, and this administration seems clueless on how to stop it. And anyone that speaks against the ruling class narratives is demonized. They're attacked. See, what's happened is we become demoralized, and many of us are disgusted at what's going on. The people are disgusted with politics. They feel abandoned by those who have sworn to serve we, the people. They feel betrayed by many of the senior-level bureaucrats who have poisoned our institutions by injecting their political ideology. These feelings aren't exclusive to one political party over the other. It doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. Most people, regardless of political party, recognize that something is broken, that our institutions aren't functioning properly, that we have broken down as a society somewhere along the way, and we got to figure that out. Unfortunately, while we recognize that something is wrong, many of us retreated to our factions. We hardened our positions. Others have completely disengaged from the political process. And watching and listening to the news all day, it's only increased the factionalization within the United States. It's led us to go mad in a sense. And I get, you know, you turn on the news, it's always negative. It's depressing. That's why it's okay to tune things out every now and then. You need to get a respite from the constant negativity that's being spewed by all the media outlets, by social media. But that's why, for this episode, I want to strike a more optimistic tone. It's why I want to focus on signs of hope rather than the constant despair being pushed, the constant negativity being pushed. Before I get into the details, make sure you visit PASReport.com, sign up for the newsletter, follow the podcast so you never miss an episode. And while things may seem bleak, there are signs of hope out there, and we need to recognize that. These signs go largely ignored because the natural human condition is to gravitate towards the bad news rather than the good news. And this holds true with everything, not just politics. I mean, take a look at your local evening news broadcast. They never start off with the feel-good stories. Those are towards the end of the broadcast. Instead, the top stories focus on the crime, the murders, the rapes, the robberies. They focus on crises we face. They focus on accidents. Too many of us, and I include myself in that, I'm guilty of this as well. We focus more on the negativity because it's easier to do and it draws in more people. It's right in front of us and it's an emotional lightning rod. That's what draws people in. It's because of that we have become more divided than ever, though. The media takes the bad and amplifies it as if it's the norm. We have to recognize that the media is an industry, and it doesn't mean that things are going well and the media is just ignoring it. They're certainly not. But the media, they need clicks and viewers to make money, and they recognize the more negative a headline is, the more likely people are going to click on it. The more negative the broadcast is, the more people watch and listen. Another natural human condition is that we always view the past from a nostalgic point of view. We attempt to long for the simpler times of the past, keeping it away from politics for a second. If you have children, many of us watch our children grow and we think back to how cute they were when they were babies. But were they really that cute? We think about the first time they smiled, the first time they laughed, their first words, when they began to walk. We tend to only focus on the good memories. We forget how difficult it was getting up at all hours of the night. We forget about the cries and screams that could go on for hours. We forget about the gross diaper explosions where it goes all the way up the back, nasty. We seem to forget how difficult of a stage it was. The same thing holds true with our history. We tend to have this nostalgic view that everything in the past was great, that we never really faced any difficult or dark periods. But the truth is, our past is littered with dark periods, dating back to our founding in the American Revolution. When the revolution first began, we were losing nearly every single battle. Soldiers were deserting. There was an attempted mutiny against George Washington. Ultimately, General Washington would turn things around and we would be victorious in the revolution. If you go to the mid-1780s, the Articles of Confederation ultimately collapsed. Shays' Rebellion began. And while the Articles of Confederation still existed on paper, the system was no longer functioning because the central government was so weak and the situation was dire. However, the founders were able to avoid catastrophe when they held the Philadelphia Convention and created the United States Constitution. If we look at the War of 1812, another dark period, states were divided. Some New England states even refused to allow their militias to be federalized to help in the war effort against the British. The British were still superior militarily, but we prevailed. You go to the Panic of 1837, another dark period, a financial crisis touched off a major depression and it lasted for till the mid-1840s. Obviously, the Civil War was one of the darkest periods in our history. It nearly ended the Great American Experiment. Yet, once again, we emerged. Coming out of the war, Reconstruction efforts, distrust, Jim Crow would certainly be considered dark periods. The Panic of 1873, another major economic depression. This is called the longest depression, lasting until 1896. In the 1930s, we saw the Great Depression. The 1960s, 70s saw a number of crises that created enormous challenges for the United States. We saw the assassination of JFK, the assassination of Martin Luther King, bloody race riots, racial unrest that would persist throughout much of this period, the assassination of RFK, the division over the Vietnam War, gas lines, inflation. Now, the reason I bring all this up is to illustrate that the past has seen challenges and struggles, that we have faced bleaker times like the Civil War in every case, we were able to overcome those challenges. We emerged from those dark periods. Another reason I bring this all up is to show that it's cyclical. It seems every 20 or 40 years, a really difficult period envelops the United States. So when I think about the current times we're in, when I focus on the present day, I think the best comparison would be, you know, the 1960s and 70s, given everything we're witnessing, the massive division, the inflation, the feckless foreign policy, the debacle in Afghanistan. In fact, a lot of people are even comparing the Biden administration to the Carter administration. The only difference is that President Carter actually had his faculties. We can't say the same for President Biden. I mean, if you've watched him on news, complete disaster. But the two periods are strikingly similar. The only reason it's so hard to predict how this all plays out is because they didn't have social media in the 1960s and 70s. They didn't have a 24/7 propaganda press outlets. Social media and the 24/7 news outlets have certainly exacerbated the divisions within our country. But there are signs of hope. One of those signs is that more people are getting actively engaged in the political process than ever before, not just at the federal level, but at all levels of society, particularly the local level, which is so important. Just look at the school board meetings over the course of the last few months. Prior to this year, most Americans, they'd never attended a school board meeting. They took a complete hands-off approach when it came to their child's education. You didn't have parents engaging in their children's education for the last few decades. You were lucky if you could get 10 to 15 parents to show up, and that would be a lot. Understand that a lot of districts out there have thousands of students. However, today's school board meetings are packed with parents concerned about what their children are learning. If there's one positive effect of the coronavirus, and I hate to say it that way, but it's the truth, it may be that parents finally re-engage with what their children are learning in schools. They learned what their children are actually being taught. And many of these parents are thoroughly disgusted, especially when it comes to things like critical race theory and diversity, inclusion, and equity programs. These frameworks have ignited a fire within parents. See, it's one thing when you put policies in place that affect us adults. Unfortunately, we just accept them. However, it's a whole other thing when you have policies that impact and poison a child's mind. When you begin to target our children, we're not going to sit idly by. We have seen people from all colors, all races, all ethnicities, all communities coming together and expressing their outrage towards those who want to introduce toxic critical race theory curriculums within the schools. And I want to play a clip. It's a clip of three fathers who take on the idea of critical race theory being taught to their children. To me, this clip epitomizes how the majority of American parents actually feel. It's about 4 minutes long, but I want to play it in its entirety because it is so powerful. Take a listen.
I am the direct descendant of the North American slave trade. On my mother's side, my ancestors were enslaved in Alabama. On my father's side, we were enslaved in Texas. I am not oppressed. I'm not oppressed, and I'm not a victim. I'm neither oppressed nor a victim. I travel all across this country of ours, and I check into hotels, and I fly commercially, and I walk into retail establishments, and I order food in restaurants. I go wherever I want, whenever I want. I am treated with kindness, dignity, and respect, literally from coast to coast. I have three children. They are not oppressed either, although they are victims. I have taught my children they are victims of three things: their own ignorance, their own laziness, and their own poor decision-making. That is all. My children... We are not victims of America. We are not victims of some unseen 190-year-old force that kind of floats around in the ether. Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is taking our nation in the wrong direction. Racism in America would by and large be dead today if it were not for certain people and institutions keeping it on life support. And sadly, very sadly, one of those institutions is the American education system. I can think of nothing more damaging to a society than to tell a baby born today that she has grievances against another baby born today simply because of what their ancestors may have done two centuries ago. There is simply no point in doing that to our children, and putting critical race theory into our classrooms in part does that. Putting critical race theory into our classrooms is not combating racism. It's fanning the flames of what little embers are left. I encourage you to support this resolution. Let racism die the death it deserves, and let's keep living the life of the country that we want. Thank you.
Their job is to teach our kids math, science, biology, literature, and that's it. Not ideology. Now you want to push garbage crap like pronouns? How the hell does that keep a kid from succeeding? How does that help them? Does that teach them how to add? You want to push that garbage down my kid's throat? I will make you call my kids king and queen. That's how we'll address my sons and my daughter. And you look at me, you call me master. You want that pronoun to be in your mouth when you look at me?
When you talk about critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other, that's pretty much what it's going to all come down to. You're going to deliberately teach kids, this white kid right here got it better than you because he white? You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have two medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? How do I get, first of all, right, sign up. We've only got 5 minutes now. 5 minutes. Two medical degrees. No mom, no dad in the house. Worked my way through college. Sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You're going to tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious? Not one white person ever came to me and said, well, son, you're never going to be able to get nowhere because you know the black people. But guess what? What's sickening about this whole thing is what y'all doing right now is already something I do in my community right now to speak out against stuff. Because black folks are getting told by other black folks, oh, you know you ain't going to be able to do nothing out there in the world because them white folks ain't going to let you get nowhere. Oh, you know you're not going to be able to do it because you know, the white man going to keep you down. Well, how did I get where I am right now?
Those were powerful words spoken at those board meetings, and it's apparent that the vast majority of parents in attendance supported what those men were saying. I particularly love the part where the first father talks about his children being victims of ignorance and laziness and their own poor decisions. I immediately thought of my kids. But more importantly, he said what I've been saying for some time, that there are those who want to keep racism alive, fan the flames, the embers of racism. He talked about people and institutions keeping racism on life support, and that's exactly what the United States is doing, the racial hustlers out there. Remember, this is a big industry worth billions of dollars. The race hustlers of the world are keenly aware of that. And if we talk about racial progress that we've made, they're going out of business. They don't want that to happen. So for their business model, division and racism is necessary. Here's the thing, the majority of Americans are with those parents. The more people learn about critical race theory and diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, the more they realize just how toxic it is. And it's seeing this level of engagement that actually gives me hope. And this pushback isn't only on the K-12 level, we're also seeing it on the higher education level as well. Many of the four-year colleges and universities have moved away from education and towards leftist indoctrination. And millions of parents right now are reassessing the need to send their children to these indoctrination camps. Many parents don't want to shell out tens of thousands of dollars and sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars to have their child indoctrinated and not learn any useful life skills that ultimately lands them a career to get them out of their parents' basement. And students are also looking at the return on investments when it comes to student loans. They're realizing that the cost of degree may not be worth getting into that much debt. The writing is on the walls, and it's been clear for a while now. For the last several decades, I'm seeing more and more articles questioning the value of universities. There are some estimates that between 25 and 50% of colleges may go out of business and close their doors within the next several years. It's due to a number of factors at these institutions. You have fiscal mismanagement, you have emerging alternatives to education, the ever-increasing cost of tuition. There's also another factor involved. It's projected that by 2026, the pool of college-age students is going to begin to decrease. As Americans have less children and as our society ages, there's going to be less students going to college because there's going to be less students available. And so there's going to be a lot of seats that go empty. Maybe that's why colleges are so interested in letting millions of people cross our borders, because essentially they want to reverse the trend. They want to put those butts in those seats so they can continue making money. And here's the ironic part. The actual collapse of the four-year college institution may actually happen sooner than previously thought. It's so interesting when we look at the second infrastructure bill, not the $1 trillion monstrosity, the $3.5 trillion monstrosity that the Biden administration's calling an infrastructure bill, which it's not really an infrastructure bill, it's simply a social welfare bill. If that bill passes, then students aren't going to have to pay for community college. Essentially, the bill creates a universal community college program that's being funded by the taxpayers. Of course, always being funded by us. Now, how many people will instead spend their first 2 years going to a two-year college rather than going straight to a four-year university? See, the geniuses in Congress, they don't understand the unintended consequences of their own policies. And the Democrats are essentially going to kill off their allies in the four-year university system even quicker. But that's their problem, not our problem. Another area where there's hope is the election boards. Now, I'm constantly hearing people say that the election system is rigged and so there's no point in even going to vote. That has to be the dumbest logic I've ever heard. If you stay home and don't vote, then you have no right to complain if the current power structure stays in place, if the corruption stays in place. Everyone needs to get out there. You need to vote in all elections, from the federal to the state and the local. But there are signs of hope, because what's interesting and what's getting very little attention is the surge of ordinary Americans that are filing to become poll workers. They want to become precinct captains. They're getting engaged at the local level. For years, the left was far more active when it came to becoming poll workers and working in the polling station. But after seeing what happened in the 2020 elections, you have a whole cadre of Republicans and conservatives realizing how important it is that they step up to the plate, that they go into the polling station. The more ordinary people get involved, the cleaner the election cycles are going to be, the less corruption you are going to see. We're also witnessing the rise of Republican and conservative grassroots movements who are getting more actively engaged. For decades, the left has had a stranglehold on these types of organizations. The left has been really good when it comes to activism. They know how to get people involved. They know how to get people mobilized. And they know how to get people to speak up really loud. And this is partly why the system has shifted so far to the left. However, you finally have Republicans, conservatives, and libertarians. They're finally waking up. Not the establishment types. Those people are just completely useless. They're still blind, and they only care about keeping their gravy trains flowing. This push is coming from ordinary Americans starting grassroots organizations who are tired of the increasing authoritarianism that we are witnessing throughout our society. They are tired of those pushing this socialist and Marxist philosophy. You have organizations like the Loud Majority taking the lead, filling the void left by our feckless elected officials in the Republican establishment, who have long abandoned the people that they've sworn to serve. And you have the Loud Majority, founded by Sean Farish, Kevin Smith, and Heather. They're friends of the show. You've heard him here before. They have done an amazing job of getting people active. Another organization is Giant Slayers, founded by my friend, Politic Rick. You have Rick, who has organized hundreds of people to fight back against the corrupt public officials from both sides of the political aisle, fight back against the socialist and Marxist agenda, all starting at the local level. From filling precinct captain positions to going into communities long ignored by the Republican Party, they are mobilizing and they will change the dynamics of politics, weaken the leftist stranglehold in these areas. And there's more hope if we just look for it. Another area where we see hope, major shift going on in party politics right now. You have more gay people, blacks, Hispanics, they are changing their party affiliation. Some are moving to the Republican Party, others are moving to become more independent. And it's going to take time to see how this trend plays out. But one thing is clear. The days of Democrat dominance within these communities is coming to an abrupt end. Many within these communities are sick and tired of being political pawns. They are sick and tired of being lied to. They are sick and tired of seeing their communities continue to get worse. Now, we all know that the Republican Party is incompetent. I don't think that's a secret to anyone out there. The only way to continue this trend is for Republicans to actually reach out to the communities that they've surrendered to the Democrats. They have to go into the communities that they've long ignored. They need to shake hands. They need to talk to people in these communities. Ask them what their concerns are. They need to develop solutions to the challenges these communities face. And they need to explain the importance of limited government, of the original intent of the system. Another area of hope is how people are finally waking up and recognizing that there are a whole lot of politicians that seem to have forgotten who they've sworn to serve. The American people are abandoned. We've been sold out. It's not necessarily about electing Democrats or Republicans. It's about finding candidates who actually have respect for us, for we the people. It's about electing candidates who understand the people that they swore to serve. It's about candidates who put the needs of their constituents, the American people, above others. It's about candidates who respect the United States, our traditions, our history. It's about candidates who have an appreciation for the core American concepts of liberty and freedom. For too long, elected officials from both political parties have turned their backs on the American people. They've been in positions of power for 30, 40, 50 years. It's time for that to come to an end. America wasn't designed to be an aristocracy, but for too long, the American people would go to the polls and they vote either based on political party affiliation or by name recognition. And so that's exactly what we've become. We've become an aristocracy. An aristocracy where those in power are institutionalized by the system, believing that they have a right to power based on who they are, not what they accomplish. And this is on clear display every single day. As the aristocracy issues their authoritarian decrees, constantly warning the peasant class to abide by their edicts or face their wrath, we see the same rules don't apply to the ruling elite. And they want you to know it. They want you to know it. It's not like they're keeping this a secret. Just think, you had former President Obama's party where they got to live like normal human beings. Only the servants had to wear masks because unlike the servants, unlike people like you and me, the guests at President Obama's party, they're from a sophisticated class. Then you look at what took place this weekend. Queen Pelosi holds a major fundraiser. Again, not a single guest wearing a mask. Now, these were all old people. It's not like these were all young people where coronavirus may not affect them as badly. These were all old people. But only the servants had a mask up as the wealthy elite sat shoulder to shoulder, chumming it up, dining together. See, the arrogant aristocracy thumbs their nose at ordinary people that they're supposed to be serving. You would think this would be enough to wake everyone up to the bullshit these arrogant fools are peddling. However, sooner or later, people are going to wake up, and there's going to be a huge backlash. People are going to get sick and tired of this crap. These politicians are so dumb that they don't see the resentment that is building in everyone because of these political elites' let-them-eat-cake attitude. And the good news is that you have some really interesting candidates that are currently running in this election cycle. From Blake Masters, Arizona Senate candidate that I interviewed on Monday, so check out that episode, great interview. You have Robbie Starbuck running for the 5th Congressional District in Tennessee, Ohio Senate candidate J.D. Vance, and so many more. It's going to be interesting to see if the backlash that's brewing fosters change. We're going to witness one of the first tests real soon. You have the California recall race. Governor Gavin Newsom. How that plays out may set the stage for what's to come. See, I think that people are getting so fed up by the ruling elite's attitude that you may actually see major change in California. And if California, if the recall against Governor Newsom is successful, that is going to be a political earthquake that ripples throughout the United States. Not only will it put Republicans and conservatives in a better position in the 2022 election cycle and 2024, but you may start to see the moderate Democrats actually stand up and take back their party. The United States needs two vibrant political parties. We need that. See, I'm not saying that as a conservative, you all know I'm a conservative, I don't sit there and hide it. I know I'm not going to get my way all the time, and I don't want to get my way all the time. The system is based off reasonable compromises. That's how the system works, that both political parties do the bidding of the people. And we need to restore that principle. So there are signs that ordinary Americans have woken up from their slumber, that they're sick and tired of being taken advantage of. They've recognized the incompetence of the officials, and they see that something is broken within our system and our institutions. You look at this administration, and you ask yourself, what the hell is going on? See, the arrogant aristocracy, they overplay their hand, and they don't realize what's about to be unleashed. And it's not just the United States that's seeing this. We're going to be witnessing it in other countries as well, Western countries as well. Western countries have forgotten what freedom and liberty are all about. And remember an episode I did a year ago talking about what a post-coronavirus world will look like. Remember, I talked about unrest in a lot of Western nations. Well, you're about to start seeing that. It's going on in Australia, even though the American media doesn't cover it because they're a pathetic bunch. We're seeing mass protests going on in Australia for the authoritarian decrees that they're issuing. You're seeing mass protests going on in France, Italy, Spain, and all these other countries. They are pushing back. The people are standing up. They're speaking out. So the reckoning has become. How quickly it changes things, that remains to be seen. And while current events may seem depressing right now, while many Americans may feel demoralized, while many are disgusted by everything that's going on, while we have some that disengage from the political process, there are signs of hope out there. Be optimistic. Don't become depressed. Don't get disgusted. Don't disengage from the process. Use it as a motivator to force the change. Use it as a motivator to get involved, to restore this great nation back to the principles that we hold dear, back to the principles that are important. We are not a perfect nation. We know that. We have made mistakes. We have committed sins along the way. But as Reagan said, President Reagan said, we are the last great hope of the world. And if America goes, so too will the rest of the world. And understand, and I'm talking to Democrats now, I constantly remind people that if the system crashes, it's not going to matter what your political ideology is. It's not going to matter whether you're part of the Democrat Party, the Republican Party. It's not going to matter whether you have the same philosophy as the ruling elite. If the system crashes, everyone suffers. So keep that in mind. We need to fix our institutions. We need to get rid of the corruption that exists within the political parties. We need to look at the bureaucracy and start getting rid of all those that have no business being in senior leadership positions. We need to get rid of those that have injected their political ideology in these institutions. We need to get Congress back to serve the proper role of oversight. We need to instill accountability in the system again. And it all starts with you, because we have the power in this country. That's the beauty of it. You may not think that. You may think the system's against you. You may think, oh, I can't really make a difference. But if all Americans stand up, if the majority of Americans speak out, change does happen. We don't have to go down the path towards authoritarianism. We don't have to continue this socialist Marxist trend that's going on. We can reverse course. Think about how quickly we got into this position. Now, it happened over a course of decades, but the last 5 years, we've seen a dramatic transformation. And over the course of the last 8 months of this administration, we've seen an even further transformation. How quickly this happened is how quickly it can be reversed. So let's recognize that and let's do something about it. We are seeing progress on a number of fronts. It just doesn't get the coverage it deserves. Like all the other dark periods in our history, we will overcome this period as well. I believe that more Americans are reacquainting themselves with the principles that made this country the greatest nation on earth. And I'm hopeful that a major course correction is in the works. Before I go, please take 30 seconds and provide the PAS Report podcast with a 5-star rating, write a quick review on any podcast platform that allows reviews, and share this episode with others, particularly those that may be down and out and depressed about everything that's going on. I want to thank you for joining me. I want you to stay safe, and I'll be back next week.
Thank you for listening to the PAS Report Weekly Roundup Podcast.
Have a good one. Bye.
Be sure to rate, share, and subscribe to the podcast so you'll never miss an episode. Also, visit PASReport.com and follow us on Twitter at PASReport.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.